I'm Paul Wiegraf, director of the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host for today. Joining us by phone today is the founder and executive director of Trustees of Color, Cynthia Primo-Martin. Welcome, Cynthia.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Paul.
I'm so glad you could join us today. The work of Trustees of Color is so important to the nonprofit sector here in Delaware. And as the founder and executive director, I'd love to have you share with our radio audience a little bit about yourself and the Trustees of Color, what it is, and what sort of prompted you to get this started.
Well, thank you. But Paul, I am not a native Delawarean. I was born in the cold region of Rochester, New York, but came to Delaware in the 60s with my dad, who was an Episcopal minister. And I went to the University of Delaware, and I was a teacher for many years, and ended up leaving and to work in insurance, believe it or not, in Connecticut. So I've been in the corporate world, the educational world, and eventually moved back to Delaware. Went into the nonprofit world and fundraising and marketing. And then I met my second husband, Josh Martin, together we have been on a number of boards wanted to share whatever information we've had and pass it on to others and help nonprofits struggle with some of the issues of this age. But at one point, I retired, and Josh and I were one of the few people of color who were being asked to be on nonprofit boards, and we just couldn't be on all of them. So we decided that maybe it was a good thing to find out who else was around, who might be a candidate. And I really went on and said, okay, let me just start an organization that will try to identify and recruit people of color to serve on Delaware's nonprofit boards and then provide service through recruitment, training, and ongoing support to both the trustees and the nonprofit organization. So that's really how we got started.
Well, for full disclosure, we share an upstate New York connection. I was born and raised in Syracuse.
Oh, okay. So you know all about it.
Oh, yeah. So Trustees of Color goes back to 2003, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes. I had some meetings at my home before that, but officially, actually, it kind of, but not altogether, grew out of an event that I used to host that was called the Quintin E. Primo Jr. Lecture Series, which was about racial justice. And the first person we had was Desmond Tutu, who came to Wilmington. We had statewide coverage of that. And we did it for 5 years with five different guests and made it open to the public and all that. Then it was such a big project that I said, okay, I'm going to have to let that one go because DuPont was my co-sponsor in the very beginning. And then it got to be too much for a few people to handle. And the kind of idle for a while, and then we used the Primo Lecture Series 501c3 status and decided, oh, okay, well, maybe the Trustees of Color would still fulfill some of what we were trying to do with the Primo Lecture Series, which was to raise awareness on the underutilization of people of color in this area. So 2003, formally, I brought a board on, and we've been working with it ever since.
Now, what kinds of programs and services does Trustees of Color provide?
Well, what we try to do is give provide the knowledge and openings for nonprofit agencies who are looking to diversify. What we do is provide a newsletter to people that are what we consider members, trustee members, prospective trustee members. We also have nonprofit organizations who are members. But we try to link those two together, and we send out an openings list every other month to our database of people who are interested in serving on boards. So it used to be when I first started the program, we had the time and the people to actually sit down and interview everyone, and we had a real system of matching. But in later years, it's come to the point that we're trying to do this more online and have the people respond directly to the organizations with an opening, and then decisions come from there. But that's the first thing. We do have a very extensive website, And what I offer are 9 modules of board training, everywhere from just the generic, what is a board, what are the responsibilities as a board member, to specifics around fundraising, finance, organization, how organizations work, all of that, and it's online, and it's just a couple of minute read, and then there's some other resources that you can go to, and I always put my name there and others if you have specific questions. We also have a mentoring program if you feel you need a big sister or big brother to help you as you join a board and you serve, then we have names of people who are willing to work with you to do that. And the probably the biggest thing we've done is, and back in 2008, we had our first TOC Board Expo, where we actually did invite prospective trustees of color and nonprofit organizations to sit down, talk with each other. I believe we had a panel at that point to talk about how it is to serve on a board from both the trustee and the nonprofit standpoint. And it was very successful, but expensive, but successful. And we have gone on to do a couple more lesser key expos in Lewis to try to get across the state, but we hope to do another board expo in Newcastle County and then try to alternate every other year with another county, get through all 3 counties in a 3-year period. And then I'm always available to network and bring people together, small groups of people together. We used to have training in-person training sessions. We had a lot of volunteers with a lot of nonprofit expertise who would do that. Wasn't as well attended as we had hoped. People are busy, so that's why we went to the online training piece. But I'm now starting to work with to identify more people and work with the young professionals at the Urban League and sororities, fraternities, other groups to partner and to identify people so that we can get people in our system and then they will be there when nonprofit organizations or there need to be political appointments occur.
You actually just started touching on a subject, a question I had in my mind, and that was how do you go about recruiting individuals that are prospective board members?
Yeah, that's my toughest task. The matching is pretty easy. The recruiting is to get the word out and try to get it out without having to do expensive advertising and all of that. I try to keep in touch with all of the fraternities, sororities of color, organizations in general, and I just ask people everywhere, anybody, just to say if you see someone who's has some potential, looks like would be a good person to serve on an area board, please refer them to me or refer them to the website. Certainly I've asked that. Then I've tried to do presentations to some of the corporate affinity groups to try to recruit in that way, work with the churches, try to recruit in that way. I have spoken to many of the community and public relations people and the CRA representatives at the banks to do that. So there are really a number of vehicles that are used. I believe I did go to the arts the annual meeting in Dover and had a booth out there trying to recruit people who might be interested in being on board. So I whatever people suggest, I try to do. But it's something that takes a constant energy and action to be able to get people to know, number one, that nonprofits are interested in having diverse boards, and then to get them to say, hey, yeah, I know, I work. My wife and I, or husband and I, both work. We have young kids. We don't have the time, and so on and so forth. But to convince themselves that he or she might have the time, just to maybe do a committee assignment, and then maybe as time passes, they will have more time to serve on the board. But clearly in Delaware, we don't have enough people of color serving on the nonprofit and government entities. They're just underutilized in our state.
It's interesting you mentioned that because, I mean, you know, from the Division of the Arts perspective, we hear from our arts organizations that just finding interested board members in general is a challenge, let alone, you know, really building a strong board that reflects the, you know, the community, a diverse community. Are there specific ways in which the organizations in the nonprofit sector can be of assistance to you in helping to either identify potential candidates for training or share with you what their needs are?
Yes, then. Thank you for asking that. And to just respond to the first part of what you said about it, boards in general are looking for good people, not only in the arts, but everywhere.
Right.
We're way past the day when the DuPont Company or some other Hercules or way back in, when would provide time off for employees.
Right, almost a corporate citizenship type. Yeah, approach.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you had the CEOs of those corporations very active and so on and so forth. We're way past that time. So, and I should say I look for trustees of color for sure, but I have matched many people across the board to just to help out in this whole arena. So, I'm aware and we all are aware that we just need more people to be involved in the nonprofit world. Just together. But in terms of what nonprofits can do, it's still, if anybody in the agency sees or talks to someone who they think, oh, that'd be a good person to be on a board, but they don't think they've convinced that person yet to serve, always recommendations, or they, you know, they've just seen someone in a setting where they haven't even had a chance to meet them yet. But if they could pass on the name, that would be great too. And I think we may do a little bit more training as we go along, and I may ask for some more help from some of the agencies to help me do some of the training around the boards and give people a chance to really talk to people who are actually doing the fundraising in an organization. So I think from that standpoint, I hope to reach out and get some more partnerships in a sense to make this help this program succeed. And I need it to succeed beyond me personally. It needs to become a system. And I think that's where I'm working. I'm getting older and older, so I'm going to have to let this go at some point. But I'd love to see it a systemic kind of thing. And if people have ideas about my website or how I could change that or how we could do this differently, I'm always open to that. They can get me at cprimo at cynthia.martin@trusteesofcolor.org.
Well, I have more that I'd like to pursue here, but first let me remind our listeners that you are tuned into News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guest by phone today is Cynthia Primo Martin, the founder and executive director of Trustees of Color, whose mission is to ensure board diversity, expanding the pool of people of color to serve on Delaware's nonprofit boards through recruitment, training, and support to boards and candidates. Cynthia, with the individuals you work with who might be interested but somewhat reluctant to sort of dive into that, you know, board membership role, what are some of the reservations you hear from individuals, and how does Trustees of Color sort of work to address those reservations?
Yeah, well, some of it, as I mentioned earlier, some of the reservations are just, you know, time. Mm-hmm. Do I have enough time to do this? And I still say that we worked, I and my board and others try to say, hey, okay, whatever little bit of time you have, there is something you can do. And it may just start with a volunteer piece in an organization. Maybe there's just some project or program you can volunteer with that can work with your schedule. So I think that's one of the major reservations. I think also people say, well, what do you think I'm good at, or what do you think I could do? And what I always say to people, if you want to volunteer, if you want to be part of this, then there are all kinds of ways for you to help. And but you need to volunteer for an organization that you really have a passion for. And if you don't really have a passion for it, I don't think you're going to hang on. You're not going to be as interested in seeing getting this mission of this organization to be accomplished. So make sure you're passionate about it. I think there certainly are, and being very truthful, there are some people of color who say, okay, this is an all white board. Well, there are two things. I work in an all-white environment every day, and I just think I'd like a little bit more diversity on my free time. And I think that they don't – they're a little bit afraid to take a chance and so on. Well, what I say to the nonprofit organizations, if you can have more than one person of color on a board, that's wonderful. Sometimes that's very difficult. But if you at least have a couple, that makes it a little bit easier for the person who may have some concerns about that. And I just said, in general, to nonprofit boards, when you do have a person who's different, regardless race, sex, whatever, that you really do reach out and try not to stay in your little friend groups, that you do reach out and try to make the person comfortable. And I tell the same to the trustee of color. Don't stand back in the back of the room. You know, you go up, you start meeting people. You find out how this board operates or this committee operates, and you make sure to be a part of that and not separate yourself from the group. So those are the kinds of things that we do deal with and questions that I do have. And I always say, you know, if it's something that doesn't work out, if you're on a committee and it just doesn't work, then that's good to know early on. But there are so many other boards and so many other committees that you're not having to do this for life. If this it just isn't the experience you want, look at something else.
Yeah, I think that's a really really important suggestion, and that is getting involved in an organization in a way that is manageable at first, to really to learn the organization. And you know, there, as you say, there are many committee projects, committees. There are projects you can work on that have more of a time frame around them. So it's not a long-term commitment, but you can really get engaged in the organization and its work and get a sense of the organization to determine if that really is where you want to invest time and energy as a board member. I'm wondering, from your work with the organizations, what are the kinds of skill sets you see organizations looking for? And sometimes the hardest to find.
Yeah, well, you know what is the number one that people want? Fundraising.
Yeah.
Fundraising. And so many people, if they have not served in the nonprofit world or been an employee in a nonprofit world, really don't understand it. And I think that there has to be enough of an explanation of what that's about, that you must participate as a board member. And that means you do have to give yourself. But if you can work in other ways to identify names of people, to help with coming up with fundraising activities, there are lots of ways for you to participate in that part of the organization's efforts. They are always looking for people with finance background, clearly. Mm-hmm. I think overall, a lot of times these days we say, you know, it's nice to have business people because they have a way of looking at it in another way. And I think it's those kind of skills, teamwork, which allow you to work with other people to solve a problem or to get a job done. They want people like that. And everybody wants certainly the CEO of every company on the board. So that
right.
But that's not going to work anymore. We're going to have to do some different things. So I also think that the skill sets of being open to conversations, strategic kinds of conversations. I think the strategic thinking is what boards are looking for, because they need that kind of expertise more than ever to solve some of these very difficult issues that are on the table.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And certainly I think the size of the organization often has an impact on what they're seeking in board members. Smaller volunteer-run organizations, the board tends to be more often a working board where they're sort of fulfilling some of the administrative functions of the organization as well.
You're right. They're more hands-on, and, right. and that is something we do talk about. What are you looking for? If you're really looking for the real policy-making way at the top, then that's a different board than maybe a board that started 2 or 3 years ago and is really just building itself. So that's another element that needs to be discussed when I talk and others talk to prospective board members.
Right. Now, I noticed from your website that you haven't partnered with University of Delaware, Delaware Alliance for Nonprofit Advancement. So you work with other organizations as well in trying to fulfill your own mission.
Yeah, I try to. Let me put it that way. I just believe in partnerships altogether, and that's why, you know, there's no one group can't do it all. So we definitely need to work with others. And there is a new head of Dana, and we're going to talk more and more because Dana is interested. I'm sorry. People know who Dana is.
Yeah, so. Delaware Alliance for Nonprofit Advancement.
Yeah. So for them, this whole issue that we've talked about of just trying to find people to be on boards who want to serve, that's a statewide issue. And it's not just about people of color, but it's a statewide issue, and we need to work on that. And I have tried to keep those representatives from those organizations on my board to keep the conversations flowing. My newest ones are going to be with the Urban League, as I said, with the young professionals. I'm going to work with Next Gen, with the Delaware Community Foundation, and any other organizations that are leadership development focused, because I think board service is a leadership development opportunity for many people too.
Great. And with that, we need to wrap up. We're running out of time. Cynthia Primo-Martin, thank you so much for joining us to talk about Trustees of Color.
Thank you, Paul.